Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget our Tuesday lunch partner, Reeling a Deal every Tuesday at Pearl Tavern in Lee's Summit. $2.50 fish and shrimp tacos, $5 house margaritas made with premium Jose Cuervo silver from 3 to close in the bar only at Pearl Tavern, part of the Summit Hospitality Group, proud partner of Cody and Gold. We are going to have Nate Taylor join us in a couple of minutes, our insider over at ESPN. I got an email during the break, Cody. I'm sure you may have just got this as well. We are on this list where we get like these offshore odds for some of the crazier stuff. Mike McDaniel, nobody's going to be surprised to hear this, but he is, of course, a favorite to be the first coach fired. But the odds continue to increase. He's now minus 700 to be the first NFL coach fired for the 0-2
it's going great for
Miami Dolphins. The implied odds also, will he be the head coach between week three? Will he be fired between week three and week four? So meaning, will he get one more game this Thursday night and then get fired? Yes, that he will be. 60% chance, basically, likely that he's fired in the next week.
If they get their ass kicked by Buffalo on Thursday night, it's an easy wait 10 days.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. We were talking before the show. It's like, if they get embarrassed on national television Thursday night, if like the Bills beat him up by three touchdowns, McDaniel could be fired by Friday morning.
People love doing it in the bye week, but this is like a pseudo bye week. They get the week and a half to get the next guy in charge. Man, Mike McDaniel, he was the hot name on the street after year one, and the offense was high flying.
He said at the time, though, man, like his whole shtick, when they're winning, it works. That whole like quirky, weird vibe, whatever you want to call it, like that works when you're winning. When you look like a genius and Tyreek Hill's going for 300 yards receiving randomly or whatever it was, 280 or something that one game, it all looks great. And then you're like, oh, I feel bad for him. His quarterback just can't stay healthy. And now it's like, maybe they're not a physical team. Maybe that all of it's over.
When
maybe
you're losing, you look like Patricia with that pencil behind his ear. You're like, listen, dummy, stick's done. You're not writing anything down. Doesn't have to be back there.
Yeah,
it's always they'll let you get away with it.
I knew it would take 10 seconds for the text to come in. Someone says, bring in Mike McDaniel when he gets fired to the offense. You and I both know that's not happening. Okay, you and I both
middle
know.
Of the season they fire Nagy and bring Mike McDaniel
come
who just
on.
Got fired.
Stop. Nate Taylor from ESPN.
Nate, what is the likelihood of that exact scenario?
Joining us in the studio. Let's get his right mic here. This one? Let's try the other one. How about the...
Mike's
got crossed. Someone's put a prank on you.
What is going on?
So you're saying that's not going to happen?
Probably not.
You don't want McDaniel vaping on the Arrowhead sideline?
God, I would... You know, for storytelling purposes, we would all love it. For storylines, yes, please. I don't believe there's anybody on the coaching staff, let's say on the offensive side for the Chiefs, that has any ties to the Shanahan discipleship.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is that correct?
I believe he was part
based
of
on,
that staff.
Based on their ability to run the ball, should they ask? Because Shanahan can run the ball. I can tell you who can run the ball, and it's not the Chiefs.
and the Dolphins with Devon Achane did a really nice job early on. There's a lot to Mike McDaniel's scheme that I actually like.
Mm-hmm.
It is the quarterback.
Guys,
it's pretty simple. The quarterback reached his peak, and then due to injuries, due to locker room kerfuffles, due to people catching up to the scheme, so you have to adjust to the adjustments. We see this all the time with Major League Baseball players. Like, it's the same thing with coaches who call plays and are tied to a certain scheme. Like, you have to go through cycles to get through this thing. But ultimately, this game comes down to quarterback play. And Mike McDaniel can't help this man. not complete an 8-yard pass to Tyreek Hill.
While we're talking about play callers, Cody and I were having a conversation earlier. I know you've seen it in your mentions, and it happened last year as well. Anytime the offense looks the way it does, people immediately go to the offensive coordinator.
And Matt Nagy. Sure.
That's just how this whole thing works. And I thought we had a pretty
is
good...
It?
I thought we...
He has to take some blame. He can't just be an offensive coordinator. Hold on, hold on.
So Cody and I had a good conversation.
Yes, I heard.
And I think he's an easy scapegoat for people.
Uh-huh.
I also think, of course, he's part of it. He is still part of the game plan. However, it is an Andy Reid offense.
Right.
He's a play caller. I think
correct.
The adjustment to everybody else in the league was always a huge strength of Andy's, and now I think it's a fair question. But there's also the reality, while people will say, well, the offense statistically is way worse than it was 2 or 3 years ago. That's a fact, but also
right.
defenses are playing them different, and that there's personnel difference. They're down their number one, number two wide receiver right now.
Yep.
Where would you, what would you say to those that think this is a Matt Nagy problem and that, the offense has been bad since he showed up?
Or worse, at the very least.
Well, let's start with some facts. They have won the Super Bowl with Matt Nagy.
Right.
I just want to remind people that the 2022 season? 2022 season, they had the greatest quartet of football minds on the offensive side of the ball. They had Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Matt Nagy, and Patrick Mahomes. No team since then has had a quartet that freaking good.
Who knows the game,
Who knows the game, knows how to adjust, knows the offense in and out, been disciples of Andy Reid. And a quarterback reaching another level in his career. We have not seen that since. That's why the tush push bothers so many people, because that's a simplified version where the Chiefs were really at a graduate level when it came to offensive masterclass work, especially when they beat the Eagles in that Super Bowl, given how successful the Eagles were at pressuring the quarterbacks, bare fronts, understanding that they could sit on certain routes with a pretty veteran secondary. So look, they schemed their way to a Super Bowl win. Matt Nagy deserves a ton of credit. One of the things that Matt Nagy was never going to do was replace the intensity, the attention to detail on fundamentals the way Eric Bieniemy did, right? Eric Bieniemy, I think, found a viable lane that was easy for fans to see. It's less easy for fans to see what Matt Nagy's lane is, which is honestly more quarterback coach. From what I get, more game plan specific with Andy Reid, with Patrick Mahomes. Okay, so now it's a trio. It's not a quartet anymore. It's a trio.
And the game plans have not been great.
Well, when you game plan thinking that we have found a mark on the Los Angeles Chargers secondary and your player goes out on the third play to exploit that mark, then it comes down to, okay, how quickly can you adjust? It's the first game of the season. I will give you guys some grace. I also want to say that the second half was excellent in Sao Paulo from an offensive perspective. It's not Matt Nagy's fault that there was some miscommunication between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on that crossing route.
Yeah.
That if they do connect, he waltzes into the end zone. You could make a similar argument, not as strong, about Sunday. Again, not Matt Nagy's fault that the ball is a little tick early, but it's in your hands. It's on your forearm. You got to find a way to catch it or at least not let it turn to a turnover. The development of younger players is where you should question Matt Nagy. It is not Andy Reid's job, or it shouldn't be Andy Reid's job if we consider him
to make Sky Moore better.
Yeah.
To make Pacheco have better vision on the ground.
Correct. Andy Reid is above most of this. Now, he will take time to individually coach guys. It's the same thing with Steve Spagnuolo on the defense. But his philosophy has always been, I am a teacher. I teach the players and I coach the coaches so that the coaches can better teach the players. Well, the Chiefs have the worst running back duo through 2 weeks. Is that a player issue or is that a Matt Nagy / Todd Pinkston issue? Well,
/ Andy Heck issue?
Andy Heck has a lot of the say when it comes to the run game. Yes, you could make that point too. Now,
I just think the run game is bland.
Have you developed Kingsley Suamataia? Have you developed Wanya Morris? Have you developed Sky Moore? Rasheed Rice, Xavier Worthy?
They gave him contracts.
So yeah, I mean, Trey Smith, it's a mixed bag, guys. It's not, you're not going to have a 100% success rate.
While we're on the offensive line for a second, we were saying, you know, it's one thing for us to expect it to take some time for Josh Simmons, who I already thought looked better in week two.
He looked so
right?
good.
It's one thing for us to look at. It's one thing for us to look at Kingsley and say, hey, there's got to, you know, it's still year two. It's a new position. Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what has been shocking, I think, through the first 2 weeks is, and I'm not saying PFF grades are end all be all by any means, but like.
Right. But it's a resource.
Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and obviously Juwan Taylor. Those guys just have not been good enough. Nate, like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith have not been good enough considering who we know they are as football players, what they're compensated like, and all that. That as much as we focus on the left side, what the hell is going on with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith 2 weeks into the season?
I would say their issue lies more in protection and blitz pickup. It looked Sunday for the majority of the first half that the Chiefs just thought, oh, it'll be the same game plan. And again, I think that's coaching. It's going to be the same game plan. Like, they still got awesome defensive line. So we expect a lot of zone. We expect them to sit down in certain shallow areas of the field. Maybe we can take the top off like we did in the Super Bowl. But, like, we don't really expect much. I'm sorry, what? They blitzed? They blitzed again? Wow, that's a free runner. Like, Vic Fangio is known to blitz every now and then. The anomaly was the Super Bowl because he didn't
not
blitz
at all.
You.
Yeah. Need to.
So, again, that's going into the game plan where it's like, okay, I'm questioning, were you guys anticipating something different and then you were surprised, and now that's a sequence questioning of, again, coaching staff, quarterback seeing it, offensive line, Creed Humphrey, you know, disseminating the protections. There were some times where they slid one way and, oh my God, the blitz was coming the opposite direction.
It seemed like there was a couple plays where like half of the offensive line was going one way and the other half is going the other way.
And by the way, this is not Sao Paulo anymore. This is not in a neutral, you know, once in a lifetime sort of experience, which is a little, you know, more crowd noise, obviously, but this is at home. This is an Arrowhead. You know, you got plenty of time and space to make these adjustments. I do not question Trey Smith and I do not question Creed Humphrey when it comes to run blocking, because it's there, guys. It's there. There's. I mean, I'm not the only person.
Yeah, Pacheco's run into the back of his own guard.
Thank you. Multiple times. What's so funny about that is, like, you know, I can watch that Monday morning, and it's just, you know, it's not in my nature to just be like, all right, I'm gonna clip this and put it up. Like, I know there's several people who can do that at a much higher level than me. I gotta look at a bunch of different things, talk to a bunch of different people, but. Where are you going? The hole's there.
He could have the touch on the Simmons one.
And this is why it's never one person.
Correct.
This goes back to the offseason thing. Yes. Well, then you got Isaiah Pacheco's vision didn't get worse than it was 2 years ago. It's always been a problem, right?
This feels like the one thing we all knew that they didn't fix.
That's the one area, I think, of the offseason you can truly be critical of the front office. I have no problem that Jalen Moore's not playing. I get why they brought him in, just in case they didn't get Simmons. Also, he might be the right tackle next year for this team. So my biggest criticism at the time was always the, hey, they brought back Kareem Hunt, and then they didn't draft a running back to the seventh round. They brought in Elijah Mitchell instead of a Javonte Williams or a J.K. Dobbins.
Let's do a comparison, ladies and gentlemen. I think the Chiefs' offensive line is pretty good at run blocking, and we would all agree that the Eagles are excellent at run blocking.
Yes.
I'm on a little website called Next Gen Stats, okay? On 22 attempts, Saquon Barkley got over 15 miles per hour on a carry 4 times. Isaiah Pacheco, on 10 attempts, got to 15 or more yards per hour 3 times. Now, you're asking me, what's the difference? Well, guys, there's a little bit of average time behind the line of scrimmage, and there's yards over expected.
Yeah, they don't break tackles. That's undersold.
Thank you. Ding, kids. Isaiah Pacheco on 10 attempts had a rushing yards over expected of minus 18. Horrific, okay? If you're asking for a comparison, Kareem Hunt on 8 attempts had a run over expected of +1. He actually gained 1 more yard.
So got exactly what he was supposed to, essentially.
Right. You could say beyond the fourth down call that is just
awful. Yeah, what the hell was that?
Punt the ball, guys. Andy Reid's been one of those guys where it's like, well, if it's a tie game, if it's a one-score game, hey, I will show trust in my defense. I know I got the better quarterback for the fourth quarter. I will punt the football away. Why are you going for it?
Had no issue. It's funny. I actually had no issue with him going for it. I just don't get, goes back to the run scheme and everything is,
right.
You know, you got Kareem Hunt you're in shotgun, you got Kareem Hunt to your left, you know which way he's going versus, you know, trusting your offensive line just to line up and play some football.
So my suggestion to Andy Heck, Matt Nagy, Andy Reid is run forward. It's called off tackle. It's called lead draw. Maybe we might do a counter or two, but not on fourth down, which is telegraphed to your point, Alex. But we need to push the pile forward. Running out of shotgun with these running backs, it's asking a lot, guys, especially when the defense is flying towards certain angles to cut you off, where the run pass option becomes a little bit more viable because, hey, if you see a linebacker approaching the line of scrimmage, then, hey, you can just throw right over his head on a slant, on a dig, out route, whatever you want to call it, hitch. There's a number of play action sort of RPO. We can get to this real quick. But running the ball with Kareem Hunt, who is ground and pound at this stage of his career, and Isaiah Pacheco, who appears to be healthy because, again, guys, mm-hmm. He can get over 15 miles per hour. Same amount of times as Saquon Barkley. Actually did it with less attempts. Saquon had 22 attempts because obviously the Eagles were in much of the control of the game. Yeah. Could hand the ball off more often. Isaiah Pacheco had 10 attempts. He got over 15 miles an hour. He can do it. I mean, the success rate, guys, 10 attempts, 20% success rate. Kareem Hunt, 8 attempts, 50% success rate. Did it 4 out of 8 times. If you're looking for comparisons,
there are a few.
Saquon Barkley, 22 attempts, 88 yards, 4 yards per carry, a touchdown, of course, had 45% success rate. So 10 out of his 22 attempts were successful. Isaiah Pacheco got stuffed 3 out of his 10 times. He had more stuffs than success rate per rushing attempt. They have, by facts, and I got to double check this, but I'm pretty confident based on all the research I've already done, largely, guys, they have, over 2 weeks, the worst running back performance in the league.
We thought it was bottom 5 in the offseason, though.
It all comes back to, like, we knew that this was part of the problem, and then it was ignored. But mm-hmm. then also, like, and I'll ask you about Travis Kelce in just a minute, because there's some stuff on him, absent the, like, obviously the biggest swing play of the game. One more thing on the running thing. I don't know how you can, I'll be honest, Nate,
mm-hmm.
put you in a tough spot.
Sorry.
I don't know how you can ask Andy Reid this without pissing him off.
I will try.
Here's the question I have. How can you be largely considered one of the most forward-thinking, offensive-minded NFL coaches who everyone respects as a genius in the league?
He is a genius.
And actively choose not to use the most statistically successful play in the entire NFL. There is no play with a greater rate of success than the QB sneak in the entire NFL. It doesn't matter what the play is.
He's scared, Cody.
Why?
He's
Andy Reid. You got 3 Super Bowls and nothing to lose.
He's coaching.
I don't care if it's Gardner.
Scared.
I don't
it
care
should
if
be
it's Gardner.
Bring in Gardner
ass.
Minshew. That's been my thing. It's just have Gardner Minshew come in. You're like, oh, well, the defense knows it's coming. Who cares? It works.
We knew what play was coming.
The touch push
7 times yeah. on Sunday. Yeah. Okay.
It is statistically the most successful play in NFL history. I can't understand an NFL coach choosing to not have
Minshew under center and Noah Gray or Robert Tonyan push Gardner Minshew in the ass and move forward for a yard.
I'm already working on a cover. Someone suggested Super Freak earlier for QB sneak.
Stop it.
Might
He's
be time.
Coaching scared.
That's weird.
You can clip it, guys. I don't care. These are the facts. He's coaching scared because he doesn't want his quarterback to get hurt because he's the greatest football player we've ever seen. And I get it. And it happened on one freak incident, of which he's already said on knowledge it was a freak
but
occurrence.
But his quarterback's out here lowering his shoulder now twice, 3 times in the first
he's
2 weeks.
He's coaching scared.
I'll never forget.
There's no other explanation. Or now some people can say, well, what is he? Is he playing 4D chess? Is he galaxy braining
no.
this? I mean, kind of. But, like, they got away with it because, as I told you guys earlier, one of the reasons they got away with it, which kind of emboldens you, and I understand that, but one of the ways you get out of, hey, we don't ever have to run a quarterback sneak. And I remember asking Airbnb.
It would be desperate.
We just won the Super Bowl, and we didn't run it one time all season in our Lord's 2022
season.
Well,
now you're on two. Going for 4 downs more. Maybe the QB sneak's coming.
Look, Patrick Mahomes has said that he has no issues doing this, okay? So let's absolve him of all wrongdoing, guys. Patrick Mahomes... And
he's openly said it multiple times he would do it.
I will do it. And I thought it was very fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, very fascinating, that the most interesting thing this man said at the podium after his first season as an 0-2 quarterback said, it's been in the game plan. I'm sorry, what? It's been in the game plan. I will get the quote here.
Like, it's a play in the book. They didn't just, like, cross it off.
I mean, it's...
I'm not kidding.
Guys, it's bad.
Nate, this is the part that kills me, though. This is why, like, Andy is a genius. And I'm not saying, like, people can't make mistakes just because they're not offensive geniuses.
Right.
In the time since they have eliminated the QB sneak. One, Patrick Mahomes is on pace to be his first personal own 1,000-yard rusher in his career. So, like, let's just set that aside. They did, for two straight years, out of their offense, ran a speed option play where Patrick Mahomes was the lead runner.
Right.
He's lowering his shoulder. He's run wheel routes.
He blasted DeMar Hamlin into oblivion last year in the AFC Championship game.
He took out his own wide receiver running around on the field. Like, but he can't run a sneak. It's crazy. It's crazy.
So again, guys, hold on. Let me reload the web page. Because again, this was the most interesting thing Patrick Mahomes said after the game, in which they lost because they chose, his coach chose to go for it on 4th and 1 with a trap with a ground and pound running back. To your point, Alex, who was in the shotgun.
So he's got to go like 5 yards to get the game one.
Which, by the way, the Eagles knew it was coming. Quote. From Patrick Mahomes, I'm always up to it. We've put it in the game plan certain games. I trust in Coach Reed and whatever he calls. We've put it in, and you have to get the right look. Parentheses, the Eagles were going to give us that right look this week. Guys, everyone needs to read this quote on ESPN.com because I want you to understand. He's saying we've put it in the game plan. And because he has so much love, so much respect, so much admiration for Andy Reid, he has yet to do the Aaron Rodgers thing.
He signaled to it.
I'm going to call my own play.
Mm-hmm. We're getting this yard.
I'm going to call my own play. I'm going to do my own thing. He has never done that. But he's telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's in the game plan. Somebody who has 51% of the vote on all play calls has chosen not to
until somebody's standing up there. Like, what? All it takes is one rogue moment.
And is it like any hurdle in life you're trying to get over, like something you were scarred? If they do it one time and it works and everything's fine,
they're
just going to start doing it every game?
Look, guys.
Does it just take one time?
He is not that dissimilar from a physical frame than Josh Allen. Think about that. He is closer to Josh Allen in terms of size and strength than the average human being. Hell, the average NFL player, right? Lamar Jackson is less farther away from Josh Allen than Patrick Mahomes is closer to Josh Allen. The Chiefs were able to stop the Bills last year in the AFC Championship game because the Bills had no variation in their quarterback sneak. He always went to the left.
They're also great against the tush push on set. Nobody's better in those situations in the Chiefs defense kind of consistently.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they would have an advantage in that way too. They know better how to stop it. Means they might
they've
be better
at it. They've seen it a ton. Yeah, they've seen it a ton and they understand that, like, hey, which is why the Chiefs were so critical to the referees being like, guys, we noticed this in the Super Bowl. We've played them, five times in the last 5 years. It's not really lining up the way you would draw it on the chalkboard or the whiteboard. Hey, he seems to be moving, right? You got eyes? like that's why Andy Reid was so upset, because it's like, hey, man, it's one thing if the center's over the ball because he's trying to protect the ball. And if you let him get away with that, I guess there's some gray area involved because, hey, he's the one touching the football.
But if the play designs that he can't protect the ball under normal rules,
right?
What are we doing?
Right.
I just don't like that play is officiated different than any other play on the planet.
So again, let's not. I mean, Hall of Fame coach, one of the greatest coaches that's ever lived.
Yeah,
insane offensive genius and coaching scared at the same time.
Nate Saylor from ESPN joining us in studio. Let's get a quick break, and then I want to ask you about the tush push a little bit more. We both think that it's dead now. This will be the last season seeing it in the NFL. But also, the AFC West, the reality is the Chargers are 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
A chance to get to 3-0 against another divisional team this Sunday. We'll talk about...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nate Taylor next. Nate Taylor from ESPN hanging out with us. Plenty to get into before we get to the rest of the AFC, the AFC West. Xavier Worthy, we all know, did not play on Sunday. He was doubtful Friday, ruled out Saturday. It sounds like, and I'm sure you've heard it, that Sunday's a real, real possibility in New York. I was saying earlier, because some people were saying, ah, do you hold him out to the Ravens game? If you don't believe there's any increased injury risk and he mm-hmm. still has catch, you know, radius and all that, then you don't have the luxury of saying, oh, we'll just save him for the Ravens game. We've all seen this offense. No, he has to play Sunday if he right. truly can.
Yeah, and I everything you said is true. He expects to play on Sunday unless something, you know, unforeseen happens between now and kickoff. But, you know, the Chiefs were thrilled with his progress last week, and I don't want that to get lost because there was real concern that, like, hey, maybe he has to go on short-term IR, right? And we reassess – after that, because he was able to practice and that he looked pretty good, what was it, Thursday and Friday of last week, that it says, okay, even though they didn't, the game plan really didn't include him, which I think was an issue too. It's like, hey, we have to practice in the event that, like, you're not going to be available, right? So this week he gets the full practice schedule. You know, if he participates Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, hopefully he has no setbacks. And as we were just talking in the last segment about the running game, well, it's easy. There's easy ways to get Xavier Worthy the ball without necessarily having to throw, you know, 20, 30 yards downfield. You could use end arounds, reverses, obviously some bubble screens if you want, RPO actions. And you would just tell the guy, hey, don't, you know, unless we're in the fourth quarter and it's 2 minutes left and we need a touchdown to win, which, Lord willing, hopefully
yeah,
they're not.
Protect yourself.
Right. Hopefully
bit,
they're yeah. not in that situation. Yeah. Yeah. But
go
outside of that, yeah, you know, take the fall, give up yourself, go out of bounds, try to be reasonable with it because we want to see how your body holds up with a game in which we all believe he's going to have some contraption, some harness to try to help protect his right shoulder. But yeah, there's multiple ways to get him the ball and keep him involved in the offense, especially early, just to see how it tests. You know, some of the speed of the second and third levels of the Giants defense. But yeah, the expectation is he will play, and how effective he'll be is the real question.
What percentage chance? We got asked this by the morning show. I think it was a good question. What percentage chance do you think this season we will see games with all three guys playing together? Hollywood,
oh,
Xavier Worthy, and Rashee Rice. You got to make it a month with Worthy and yep. Hollywood not yep. getting dinged up.
Guys, why y'all do this to me?
I put it at 20.
I said
Alex
30%.
30.
Why y'all do this to me? What Drew say? What do you say, Drew?
What was your answer, Drew?
The guys asked me too. I said 30%.
Man, we
that's got to be around the number. I can't put it any higher than that until they actually do it.
Right. Yeah, because I think we need to tell the audience that, hey, guys, there was a time last year where they said, hey, we're going to get Hollywood Brown, a legitimate number two receiver,
A rookie in Xavier.
Okay. We just drafted the fastest guy in the league, not named Tyreek Hill, in the first round via the Buffalo Bills. Thank you very much. And Rashee Rice is coming off one of the more impressive rookie seasons you could have in the NFL at the receiver position. They have yet to play a snap together as a legitimate trio over Patrick Mahomes. So I'll be optimistic. I'll say 45%.
Okay. That's better than look. I hope you're right.
You're giving me a longer runway too. This isn't like yeah. last year where it's like, okay, when is Hollywood going to come
if
back?
If Hollywood missed a game when Rashee came back, they could still be back the next week.
Right?
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Because you give me more than half the season, the second half of the season, I'll give it 45%. I'll be optimistic. The you know it's really tough, and I want to say this too. Like, no one cares. Because they're 0-2.
Yeah.
But the coaching staff really was like, I don't know. Maybe Rasheed will get suspended. Maybe he won't. I don't know. Is he going to contest this thing? I don't know. But, like, hey, we got Hollywood through the preseason. That's great. Xavier Worthy looks excellent going from year one to year two. And Rasheed Rice, the Chiefs really believe Rasheed Rice is one of the 10 best receivers in the league. And in a matter of, like, less than a week,
it
all fell apart. He got suspended, and there goes Xavier Worthy's right shoulder in the season opening drive.
Well, I'll ask about the defense here in a minute. Alex and I were both very impressed with their turnaround from week one to week two. I know this is one of those, like, fans don't want to hear it because Travis Kelce made the worst error of the game that single-handedly was the biggest swing that cost him the football game. I think it's fairly easy to see that Travis Kelce looks better than last year's Travis Kelce.
Yes.
And I don't know. I'm curious if you felt the same.
Yes. While also acknowledging two of the biggest mistakes in the entire season have been from Travis Kelce.
Yeah, of course.
No doubt. Yeah. I'm not denying that portion of it at all.
Nope.
But those are like, Travis Kelce's always dropped a football. I just mean, like, he's moving better. He's open more. I think he's going to be a more effective offensive weapon for this team the whole season.
Yes, I agree. And, he actually stiff-armed Cooper DeJean pretty well in Sunday's game. And I was like, did we see that at any point last year?
And DeJean's a good tackler.
Right? Now, I thought last year Travis was trying to be more of a willing blocker, more willing to be a decoy. Now, obviously, that blew up the moment Rasheed Rice had his knee injury. And he was trying to preserve his body. He wasn't really going for the hard extra yards last year. That's why he became one of the more insane players. He was like, you know how you don't get hit, guys? You catch the football and you pitch it to Samaje Perine for five times. How many times did I pitch it to this man?
So was he trying to do that on the play that he was holding the ball out there like LeSean McCoy?
I don't think he was trying to do that. I think that was a little bit of a one mixtape. Like, I think he really – what's fascinating about Kelce, and this is very theater for the general public is we all know more about this man's life than he could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
And we are all watching him go through, I got it. I still got it. I can do this. You know what? I can scream at everybody and carry us to victory. Not today, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks. Like, it really sucks that I thought he played really well in the second half against the Chargers. No one cares because you made a mistake that he took ownership of, but I still think it's more on Xavier Worthy because
I think that's just a veteran thing. Like Mahomes takes,
yes.
Like Kelce takes all the blame for anyone below him. Mahomes takes all the blame for anyone below him. Andy takes the blame for anyone below him. It's that kind of thing.
It's still Xavier Worthy's mistake for not adjusting his route based on how Kelce was setting up the rub for him to be, free released on the man-to-man coverage. He thought he was going to sit in the zone. Patrick thought he was going to continue through the zone. All right, whatever. Hey, they have dialed up this play for me because I'm the most reliable pass catcher on the field. Yes, I'm 35 years old. How much can that reliability hold up when you don't have Xavier Worthy, when you don't have Rasheed Rice? He's on the field more than I think the Chiefs would like him to be, but given their circumstances, he's kind of got to be out there. It's fascinating to know he really isn't changing, but obviously he's trying to stiff arm Father Time, and it's just it hasn't gone as well as I think he anticipated, given how much work he did to look as good as he does when he does have the ball in his hands, when he is in the open field, when he's making yards after the catch, which is what he was not doing last year.
One of the few promising things that I have seen in the two losses offensively would be each of the two games, at least once, if not twice, they have been able to scheme Tyquan Thorne open down the field.
Yes.
And so I know we're all frustrated with everything else with this offense right now, and most of it is probably not going to get resolved until Rice and Worthy are both on the field at the same time. That's just, I think, the reality. But in both weeks, they have been able to get their shot to Thorne. And and the one pass, we were saying, I don't know if we've seen Mahomes miss a guy more than that. That was bizarre.
Woo!
I know they connected later, but that cost him 45 seconds or a minute or whatever it was.
Yep, it cost him about one play, 45 seconds.
Yeah. Which is a lot when you're talking about a team being able to kneel it out at the end.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, because you could have had a chance to get the ball back.
But. Where would they be if they didn't have Tyquan Thornton? which again, not a question I thought I would say out loud in week three of the NFL season.
Things where that preceded disaster, if you're just like, that's not the sentence you want to say before the season starts.
No, of course not. Tyquan's been an ultimate professional. He's actually adjusted to Mahomes and the offense faster than most guys in their, you know, pseudo first year. I know he was on the practice squad last year, but this is his first time playing with Mahomes. They have schemed things up. And you know what? The protection has largely been okay. Not great, but okay. Like, it wasn't embarrassing Sunday against the Eagles, even though the Eagles have a very good defensive front. So now the question becomes, okay, we've put it on tape twice, so we can hit you over the top with Tyquan Thornton. He makes the catch. He adjusts to the ball well, got good speed. All right, how can we use that speed in the intermediate area? How can we use that speed to get you the ball in your hands so you can show it? Maybe you can be the one who breaks tackle in the offense, right? If you don't have Xavier Worthy. Now, again, we assume Xavier Worthy's going to play on Sunday. But again, how much are you asking him to break tackles right now versus, hey, just get us the yards you can with that speed, protect your body. It's a long season. I'm interested to see if they can marry those two things. Like, hey, there's Tyquan Thornton for an 18-yard gain in the middle of a zone because you've now shown on tape, I can take the top off.
Might be easier when the other guys are back, though.
Very true. You know, but again, these are the things that, again, they are not the same players. But one of the beautiful things about Tyreek is he would open up and he would force your hips to go back. Or he'd force you to turn and then he'd stop on a dime and, oh, I'm wide open 15 yards downfield. And you'd be like, how? It's like, well, everybody's terrified that you're going to run over. You're going to run past them, right? And especially if you, now, again, another suggestion for the coaching staff. I don't know, two tight end sets, under center, play action, not to Travis Kelce, but it's to set up Tyquan Thornton in the intermediate or the deep zone. So he's shown one element of the offense that's really, really good. Now let's see if he can add another to it so that he has more diversity when everybody is hopefully back in the lineup.
On defense, do you think that this performance is more indicative of what they'll be?
Yes.
I will say.
Yes.
Spags must have gotten on their ass because they came out flying.
They did.
On Sunday versus stagnant as hell in the first game. They came out with like some intent, some juice, energy.
And it was great to see. And I think that's the frustrating part if you're a Chiefs fan or if you're, you know, one of the guys on the team. Like, the defense set the tempo so well. So let's go through the game log one more time, guys. The Eagles went punt, punt, right?
They only had like 215 yards or something.
I mean, that's amazing in and of itself, considering they have Saquon Barkley. The fact that because of the blitzes, because of where some of the pressure was coming from, because of Chris Jones's presence, I never felt that Jalen Hurts felt super comfortable. So he was a little bit edgy and trying to get the ball out a little earlier than he should have. And for some reason, the Eagles didn't make the adjustments to, I don't know, have somebody run an in-breaking route on a blitz. Like, it's not that hard. Instead, their answer was, hey, slot fades, throw it up and pray. And
it worked once.
And it worked once. So, you know, and that was all they needed to get up 10 points after the dropped interception. For the defense, it's like, hey, all right, it was our fault to a degree in Sao Paulo because we have to charge to get a 10-0 lead. All right, punt, punt. All right, let's see it, Andy. Let's see these 15 plays. Punt, miss field goal, and you're like,
And I hated a missed field goal because it's the same. Like, he was more aggressive on fourth down, but then on third and 14, they'll give you 7 yards.
Correct.
Why are you settling for a delayed inside handoff?
Some teams will just be like, just screen me, baby. They know it's a screen. We know it's a screen. Just
that's
screen.
Fine. We'll just take, you'll take the 8.
Yeah.
We'll hope that you miss the 51 yard and we all go out about our day. Instead of 59 yard or whatever the hell. What was it?
Exactly. 58, technically. 58. But yeah, exactly. Like, hey, you know it's a screen. I know it's a screen. Hey, you know what we're going to do? The offensive lineman going that way.
Yeah. Like, screens are non-existent in this offense.
Beat us to the spot, okay? If you beat us on the spot, that's fine.
Colby said, what the hell happened to the screen game?
It's just completely non-existent. That goes back to the Reed and Nagy conversation.
Mm-hmm. Look, I mean,
Josh Simmons, we saw his athleticism, 18 miles an hour chasing down a dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, that's
Kingsley's a good athlete. Creed's a good athlete
Kingsley's
for center.
Kingsley's a great athlete for a guard. Yeah. Great athlete. Get that man in space.
Position by position, they might be the most athletic offensive line in the NFL.
Right, where the Eagles are like, we are giants. Good luck.
I just don't, I know they don't have a Jerick McKinnon back, but okay, this is where I feel like
you don't have a Samaje Perine.
You don't. But this is where, I don't know, Breshad Smith, the former wide receiver, he's not your running back. Do you have something schemed
you
up?
You got
to Breshad Smith,
you
screen
gotta,
game, get him in space, see what happens.
Got it. Hey, trial by fire, young man. You know what? Our game plan, our season, our plan for you this season, got to alternate it now. So I would love to see them. Again, it's a little difficult to ask, hey, these are the reigning Super Bowl champs. They got really good linebackers. All right, whatever. Man, I just saw Dak go up and down the field against the Giants defense. So let's see Breshad Smith. I know you invested in him. Everybody said you should have taken a running back in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth round. All right, you did in the seventh. He's a professional now, and we got to find answers. So if you want to do screens, if you want to do Texas routes, if you want to do wheel routes, I don't care. He's a very good receiver because that's what his background is. He was a receiver before he transitioned to running back in college. So, again, multiple ways of getting him the football. Obviously, you want to give him a little pitch, see how the boys up front, get out on the edge. Hey, you could do that too. I mean, there's a lot of questions, which is why I think the game plan had – a lot to be desired.
Nate Taylor from ESPN joining us in the studio. All right, let's talk about the AFC West. Last night we saw the Chargers and Raiders. The Chargers look very good yet again. They're 2-0. They have a chance to get to 3-0 and 3-0 in the division by the time the week three is in the books.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, to me, showed us why I don't take them seriously still in the division. Geno Smith. So the Chargers could be in an unbelievable position by the end of Sunday.
Yep.
Is that game on Sunday going to change your feeling about them winning the West? If they start 3-0 with three wins in the AFC West, I'm not saying it's over, okay? It's too early. But do you believe that the Chargers easily become the team to beat at that point?
Yes. And I'll say this for this reason. They've been road warriors so far. They went to Sao Paulo. They went to Vegas. Now they get home to SoFi. I know everybody laughs at their home.
Neutral site.
At their home environment. Thank you. I assume there'll be a lot of Denver Broncos fans there.
Sure.
These are two very good defenses. I mean, we just watched a game last night where I was like, man, I'm thinking about this.
I'm impressed. They're going to play three games and not play a single home or road game.
Correct.
Three neutral site games. Vegas is neutral site, too.
Pretty much. So, they had Ashton Gentry. They had I know Brock Bowers was a little bit compromised. It sucks. Mm-hmm. He was so awesome in the first game. But look, Geno Smith would get him down the field and goes, oh no, I don't have any more space. How am I going to get in the end zone? This sucks. The Broncos have a very good defense and somehow sleptwalked through half the game in Indianapolis. What? Whoa. Now, and
still should have won it.
Still should have won. And it doesn't help that not your rookie quarterback anymore. A year or two, you can start to see some errors, some areas where Bo Nix needs to improve, and we might see those more closer to the middle of the season than the beginning of the season. So if they beat the Broncos, who again I think have a very good defense, it's probably going to be in the 20s, low 20s, 21-16, something like that. Hey man. Justin Herbert looks good. He looks real good.
He's turned into an efficiency monster.
He looks excellent.
Quinn Johnston looks like a legit wide receiver all of a sudden.
What did they do to him?
About 3 months ago.
What did they do to this man? Yeah. What did they do? Again, coaching and development. Hey, golf clap to you guys because he knew exactly where to go on his routes against the Chiefs when they saw man-to-man coverage. And last night, he was like, well, the Raiders secondary stinks, so I'm going to run right by them. And, they got a really good connection. Keenan Allen, hey, little renaissance for two games. See how long it holds up.
He's a little bit like their Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes.
He's perfectly fine as a third guy.
Yep.
Nobody's going to complain just as long as Quentin Johnson is good.
Correct. And you still got
they didn't even have the running game last night.
Right.
Hampton stunk.
Right. I mean, Ladd McCaukey was just all over in the middle of the field. Hey, guys, I'm open. I'm in the middle of the field. I'm by the hashes yet again. Please give me the ball. Thank you. Yeah, that's another 12-yard gain. You're just like, man. So he can cut through the zones. I would tell him not to target anything near, the defensive player of the year. And if they don't do that, they don't turn the ball over, they'll probably win. So I think they, from a coaching standpoint, and a quarterback who has the ability to go shot for shot with Mahomes within the division, yes, I would think they would be the team to beat in the division. That the team, you know, it would be fascinating. I kind of want them to, now that we're talking about this, I kind of want them to win on Sunday because it puts the Chiefs in an unusual standpoint or usual position where they'll have to be the one chasing the Chargers down for, you know, maybe half the season. That let me double check. That rematch is late in the year, correct?
The Chargers schedule, I would say, is relatively favorable, depending on if Jaden Daniels
back. It's one of the final 4 weeks, Nate.
And wow, their final four games is when the Chargers are going to have to, like, that will be the chase.
Right.
When they've got the Eagles and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And a couple of other difficult opponents.
It's a brutal final five.
Yeah. So, again, would not be surprising if, hey, let's say Xavier Worthy gets through this, plays up to his potential for the majority of the season while not getting re-hurt. You know, Rashee Rice comes back, is excellent. Hollywood Brown, hey, they actually play together. It'd be fun to see, like, the Chiefs, can they chase down the Chargers as we get to, like, you know, late November.
Before you came in studio real quick, we were talking about Cody had a random question of the day, and there was a theory on Reddit that J.J. McCarthy's poor performance is because, I guess,
a testosterone level dropped due to the fact that his wife had a kid 3 days before.
Yes.
Hey, man.
Have you noticed a difference in your performance since kid number two?
Work
performance.
Oh, my God. Okay, my performance, ladies and gentlemen.
Work performance.
Is Holly, please, Lord, let Holly listen to this right now. No, I mean, but he's doing it for the first time. I'm in a little different. Yeah, I'm a little different cat. Look at these stripes, guys. Look at these stripes. When you're that young and let me just say this. When you're that young and you're a young man and
you're trying to start as NFL quarterback for the first time,
you're an idiot already. Okay, so you just think, you know what? Sleep. It don't matter. I'm excellent. You know, sure, babe. I can do all these things for you while you're in the hospital or while you're arranging family. Like, are you like? God, I can't imagine I'm sorry, I got to play? Yeah, man, you got to play.
It would feel head above water.
Yes. Yeah, I'm saying I empathize for him because I understand how hard it is when you think you know what it is. And no one's ready. I don't care how much books you read, how many people you talk to, how many babies you done babysit. No one is ready for that moment that child comes out. And you're like, holy smokes, this just got a lot harder. And it's your first? Oh, man. You know, I.
Playbook didn't get looked at as hard.
Dog,
that second
the
night.
Playbook got thick. This ain't no day one install. This is like, hey, man, you've had a great start to your season. Everybody loves you. Thankfully, you know, you're are they married?
I'm assuming so. I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're engaged.
They're engaged. Okay. Your fiance, thank God, is healthy. Baby's doing great. Hallelujah. They going to hit you on Sunday. So take care of your body.
Now he's hurt and he's out there.
We could have all seen this coming based on the experience I've had.
Nate, appreciate you as always, man. We needed that insight too. We needed that insight.
Yeah.
We'll have Nate join us, of course, every Tuesday throughout the football season. Check out his work over at ESPN. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Tuesday. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.